Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
You're welcome. Sorry for the front row. This is an obnoxiously large piece of equipment, so sorry about that. I'll just look over like this. How is everyone? Good. I love asking that question because like half of the people go, yeah, and half of the people are like, is this the rhetorical part? Or like, it's when you like ask kids, I'm a teacher and you ask kids like, okay, so what's the answer? And half of the class goes, do we get in trouble if we answer this part? Or like, what is it? For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Alex. I am a child of God. I have been a child of God since I was 15. Best years of my life. I am married to the wonderful Rebecca. She's sitting on the front row. And I am soon to be father to the 17 weeks away baby in her belly. Come on. So excited. I'm a primary school teacher. I teach 25 little year twos on the daily. You say, oh, I'm like, you don't know them. We've been coming to KCC for a while now, and we love it. It's home. If you ever want to find a place where you can be at home, that you can be known by a community of people who not only love Jesus, but love you authentically, come here. Unless you're going to your own church, then stay there. But this is a place to be if you don't have one. We've been listening to a sermon series lately. Give, pray, fast. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3.
Give, pray, fast.
Awesome. Yeah. We've been looking at what it means to give, what it means to pray, and what it means to fast. I love that when we're looking at the passage in Matthew, it says when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Not if, not maybe when you feel like it. It's a when. It's like Jesus is like, it's not an option. It's when it happens. This has been one of those words to me that, like, I love the words about, like, the power of God. I love the words about how we see God transform, how we see him move. But I also love the words that come along as, like, that gentle kind of father. And he says, hey, it's not all about you. The Christian life actually isn't about you. And he comes along and he goes, actually, it's about me. It's about living your life in a way that you make little decisions that sustain a big revival. It's a way of laying down your life for me so that Christ in me, the hope of glory, can come out, which I love. So I'm loving this series. Today we're talking about prayer. And it was so funny because when Pastor Rob said, oh, I'd love you to talk on prayer, that's one of those things where you're like, just be a bit more specific maybe. Like that's like being asked to like talk on the Bible or Jesus, for that matter, funny enough. But yeah, my first thought was like, oh gosh, there's so much to talk on. Like you could talk on intercession, you could talk about prayers of faith, you could talk about prayers of sorrow and lament. Like you could talk about people who prayed and things happened. You could talk about Moses, you could talk, like all these people. Prayer is like a hot topic in the Bible. And so when I was met with, what am I going to talk about? I was a little like, this is going to have to be you, God. And as he always does, he came alongside and he said, hey, just remind them, do they actually know who they're talking to when they pray? Do they realize who they're talking to when they pray? We're going to look at a passage today. So if you've got your Bible, open it to Matthew 6. If you don't have your Bible, that's all right. It's up on the screen. Does anyone like holding a Bible when they read it? Yeah, sweet. It's easier to Bible bash people that way. It's a joke. It's a joke. Sweet. We're going to read from verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5 says this. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What a passage, right? In this passage, we can see two things that we're going to touch on this morning. What prayer can become if we have a false image of what God is like, and what prayer is what God is wanting prayer to be. If you're a note taker, the title of this message is, Do You Know Who You're Talking To? Turn to the person next to you, ask them, do you know who you're talking to? Awesome. Sweet. We're going to pray. Okay, class, back. Cool. Let's pray. Hey, Father, thank you so much that you're here this morning. We love your presence. We're thankful that in times like these where you share a word with your people, that change always happens. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to touch lives, that you're going to touch hearts, and we're going to see real change. Jesus, I pray that this would be a defining moment for people, that they would look back and go, hang on, that was a day that everything changed. Jesus, we love you. We are so excited for what you're going to do today. Jesus, we pray for some of our family, some of this church that is down at Schoolies, looking after the Schoolies. Would you bless them, keep them safe? And Jesus, we thank you for the Christmas season. We pray deliverance over people who don't think it's time to set up their Christmas tree yet. And we just pray that it would happen. It would happen. We are believing Jesus. And everybody said, it was like November 1st and Beck was like, can we put the tree up now? I was like, oh, let's wait till like mid, otherwise we'll get judged. And then she was like, can we put it up on like socials? I'm like, do we have to? People at church look at that. Clearly, I do things just for you guys. Weird question, but when you were growing up, did you have somebody, sorry, when you were going to school, did you have somebody in your life, there was that like one kid that you kind of was like, they would say stuff and you'd kind of go, okay, like, I was homeschooled too, so I can't relate. I just wanted to be relevant. I'm kidding. It's funny because I was homeschooled, so the people that I thought was like, okay, are my sisters. No, but we were homeschooled. We lived on Tambury Mountain. We grew up, all four of us, homeschooling, and we had some close families near us. Now, when I say it out loud, it does sound a little bit like Amish, but Amish, whatever, but it wasn't. Anyway, we grew up and we had this one kid in our life who was that kid that was like, okay. His name was Casey. He lived right across the road. He moved in when I was about 9. And he was just a ball of fun. Like, I don't think he knew how much fun he was. He would come over just randomly. We were homeschooling. He'd walk in the door and he'd be like, I'm here. We'd be like, sick, Casey. Hi. And sometimes, like, he would just say the most random things. Like, he would be like, do you know what? My mum was talking about you the other day and she said that she's got a crystal for you now. Okay. Sweet. Or he'd come in and he'd be like, you know Hot Wheels? And I'm like, yeah, we know Hot Wheels. He's like, I've got 12 of them, but you're not allowed to touch them because if you touch them, you'll affect them. What? Okay. I remember this one time where he came over and we were on the trampoline because all good homeschoolers have a trampoline for physical activity. That's PE. PE is the trampoline. And we were on the trampoline and we were like play wrestling and stuff, and he stood on my ankle and my ankle bent to the side and I started crying like a normal person would. And and we turned to him and we were like, Casey, you need to be more careful. And he said, do you know who you're talking to? And just stormed off. And we're like, oh, well, okay, see you, Casey. He was back like an hour later, like, you guys got food? Like, but that was like, that was him. And it's funny because this is the transition I'm making. It's very smooth and it's not obvious at all. But what he said, do you know who you're talking to, is kind of the question we're asking this morning. So we're going to pray now, and if you want to respond. No, but seriously, do you know who you're talking to? It's a question that I felt God kind of come in and say this morning about prayer. I think it's so important to know the nature of the one you're praying to, because if you don't, your prayer life will become something that God never actually intended it to be, which sounds simple. It does sound simple saying, oh, you've got to know who you're praying to. Of course. But there's a different level to that. Like, yes, it's God, but do you really know him? Like, do you know the one you're talking to? Which is what we're going for this morning. You know, in our passage, Jesus is talking to the crowds. He's telling them this new way of life. And to their ears, it would have been really weird because they were used to so much different than what he was saying. To set the scene, we got to go back in the beginning. So like all the way back. You're like, whoa, we're in for it. I got the mic, you don't. So, but in the beginning, God created us. Well, before he created us, he was in perfect unity with himself. There was the Father, there was the Son, there was the Spirit. And they dwelt in perfect community. Like the Father loved the Son loved the Spirit loved the Son. Like it was just beautiful. And God being such a selfless God, motivated by love, he wanted to share that. He was like, oh, we got to get more people in on this because this is life-changing. And so he made man in his image with the idea that if we make man, they're going to be in on this. We're going to have people that have our image that love each other in the same way we do. And so he created us. But he also, out of love, gave us one of the most incredible gifts ever. He gave us free choice. And we use that choice to be like, nah, we're good. Like, relationship with you sounds good and all, but so does fruit. Like, so does choosing my... It's not that funny. It's happened. Read Genesis. But, like, that's what God... They gave their choice away because they were like, we could do it better. We could live our lives. We could run our lives the way we want to. And so there was this gap made between God and man because they decided, hey, I'm going to do it my way. And in doing so, they separated themselves from a holy God. And so the story of like the Old Testament is that it's this people group that God has been like, you are going to be my people because I just love you and I want to show the world that a God who is yearning for intimacy, this is how I interact with my people. And he put parameters around how to do that. He's like, if you live this way, we'll be good. But again, we chose no, we don't want to. Relationship isn't that good with you. We're going to do it our way. It continues on through the prophets. They continue to make poor choices. It's funny, sometimes we read this and we're like, that was so silly. But like, we do that. And then it got to this period at the end of the minor prophets where then heaven seemed to just switch off for a bit. 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The people of Israel, the people who were known, like they were legitimately known for hearing the voice of Yahweh, weren't hearing the voice of Yahweh anymore. Like it was like, it's mental. Like the very divining thing wasn't happening anymore. And so to compensate, they thought, okay, well, we'll just be good little people. We'll make laws. We'll do things that seem good so that we can keep up appearances. By the time Jesus was on the scene, the Pharisees had added law after law after law. There were 613 laws. Like we say 10 commandments and we're a bit like, I think I've done like 9 of them. 613. And this is like through all of life. It's talking about like the way you eat, sleep, drive. They don't drive. Walk, donkeys, all that. But like there was laws for everything. And so Jesus comes on the scene to a people who are riddled with guilt, fear, and a sense of God is angry with me because I can't measure up to the 613 things that he's asked me to do. It's pretty mental. And then Jesus says, starts talking, and he says this in this verse. He says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. I love Jesus. He's a bit of a savage though sometimes. He's like, he's not actually saying who he means. He's just kind of hinting, like, don't be like the hypocrites. It's kind of like there's this one girl in my class who she'll come up to me and she'll be like so upset. And she's like, Mr. Mott. I'm like, what's up, child? What's wrong? And she goes, Mr. Mott, I'm angry because that person over there called me a bum. Which in their language is like, that's the height of rudeness. So if you ever want to be friends with a little one, don't call them that. But like they come up to me and I'm like, okay, let's talk about how you're feeling. Let's talk about resilience and all that kind of stuff. And then it got to, okay, can you forgive this person? And this is legitimately what this little girl does. She's like, looks over at the person, maybe. And this person that she's looking at is like eyeballing her like, oh, I'm in trouble, aren't I? But I feel like that's kind of what Jesus is doing. He's like, don't be like the hypocrites. And the Pharisee in the corner is like, not me. And all the people are like, it rhymes with Pharisee. But what Jesus is getting at is that he said, don't be like them. Because what they're doing, the way they're praying is not how prayer was intended. Prayer was not intended as this thing that you do for people or you do for yourself out here, but nothing actually happens in here. And so point one, when you don't know the one that you're talking to, prayer becomes all about you. See, when God created us, he didn't create us so that we could be self-sufficient. I think sometimes we like to kid ourselves that we're good, everything's fine. But God didn't create us that way. Just like the Pharisees, sometimes we get a distorted image of what God is like. We think if we do enough or if we ask him for enough stuff, we'll be sweet. If we pray the right words, if we sound good, if the pastor kind of looks up and goes, that was a good prayer, then we'll be good enough. Or if you're praying and you're like, God, like, I just want this and I want this and I want this and I want that person to know their place and I want this. Like, prayer's not becoming about connecting with God anymore, which is what he intended. Prayer's becoming very quickly about you. And God never intended prayer to be like that. He said, don't be like the Pharisees who stand there thinking they're going to be praised for how good they pray. They missed it. Let's not be a people that miss the point of prayer because we're so focused on us or others that we forget, hang on, who are we actually talking to? It's funny, sometimes we use prayer too as a means to an end, that we pray so that. It's funny, I used to, when I was younger, I'd do all my chores and I'd go to mum and I'd be like, I want to play on the computer. And she'd be like, have you spent time with Jesus? And I was like, no, I haven't. So I'd run into my room, get my boy's Bible out. Yeah, it was a boy's Bible. It was cool. And I'd turn open to the Psalms and Psalm 117 has two verses in it. So I'd read that and I'd be like, done, yes. And then I'd pray. I'd be like, God, thank you for my mom. Thank you for my, like, I'd just go through the list of my family, then my best friends in order of like best friend to least best friend. And then I would say amen. And then I'd go out and I'd be like, mom, I did it. So can I have, like, can I play FIFA now? And she was like, did you thank God for anything? And I'd be like, ugh. So then I'd go back in. I'd be like, and then I'd just go through the list again, but instead of I pray for, it would be thank you for. So thank you for my mom, thank you for, and then like the least favorite person. But I used time with God, I used prayer as like a means to get to what I wanted. And we do that, don't we? We're like, God, you said you'd bless me, and why aren't you? Why aren't I getting the raise? Why don't I have a boyfriend yet? Why don't I have the 2.5 kids in the picket fence yet? Like, why isn't it living the dream? Why can't I have all that you've promised? But again, it's not about God anymore. It's about you. It's you using prayer. It's us using prayer in a way that God did not intend for us to use. Point number two, Jesus goes on. Jesus goes on and he says, let's read. Bible's over here. Verse 7 says, when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Point number two is when you don't know the one you're talking to, prayer can become detached from relationship and just be empty words. I'll say it again. When you don't know the one you're talking to, prayer can become detached from relationship and just be empty words. Second lot of people that Jesus is warning about is the Gentiles. There's two Greek words here. That was for you, Caleb, the Greek words and stuff. Two words. The first one is the word for Gentile. It's a word that I will probably butcher, but it's ethnikos, and basically means non-Jew, pagan, outsider, someone who is not in covenant or relationship with God. First word. Second word is batalagio, which means, that's the word where it says don't use empty phrases. It basically means don't blabber. Don't just empty talk nonsense, basically. And so Jesus is basically saying, Alex's translation, when you pray, don't use empty blubbering or mindless repetition like the people who don't know me or don't have relationship with me. Again, Jesus could come across as being a bit harsh, but he's saying, if you're going to be people who pray, you've got to know me. Because if you don't know me, it will reflect the way and what you believe about me to be true. The deal is, it's hard to talk to somebody you don't know. It's easy to talk to people that you do know, that you know well, but it's hard to talk to people that you don't know. I remember when I first met Beck, we were at Red Frogs. It's a wonderful time of the year right now. We were on the same team and we came into the cafe and she looked at me and she was like, he must be a schoolie because of the face and how young I look. Praise God for facial hair. But that was her first impression. And when she spoke to me like a schoolie. Now, she doesn't speak to me like a schoolie. It's kind of good. But I have relationship with her. That's the point. Because we know each other and we've spent time together and we've made time for each other, we know each other. And I know that I don't go to her and be like, please, sir, can I have some more? I go to her with full confidence knowing that she has let me into her life and that I have a place there. Same with God. If we approach God knowing that we have a place with him, which we do, he's provided a place for us. The way we pray is going to be so much more potent and so much more faith-filled and so much more alive than if we were to pray in a way that we're like, God, I think you're listening. I've heard people say that you're good, but I just don't know yet. Relationship is so important when it comes to speaking with God, when it comes to prayer, because if we miss it, we're going to pray in a way that's not God. The other thing they talk about in that passage is don't ramble. When you pray, you don't have to say the same thing over and over and over and over, thinking, oh, maybe God's listening. Just say it once. He's listening. God, I need you. Simple. Finish there. He's like, yes, I'm here. God, I need your deliverance. He's there. Not, and we just pray that God, that you would God, like, he knows his name. God, that God, you would God, that if God, you could possibly God, that maybe God, that you could. And God's like, what did you actually say then? God does. He's your father. Like, he doesn't need you to repeat yourself. If one of my kids at school came up to me and said, excuse me, Mr. Mott, would you please, Mr. Mott, possibly Mr. Mott? I'd be like, would I what? You didn't say anything. But we treat God like that. We're like, he might be good. He might possibly answer my prayer or even hear me. I don't know. And so because of it, we approach God in the wrong way because he's waiting. He's waiting with open arms to receive us. Then Jesus goes on. Jesus goes on and says something that makes the people of that day flabbergasted. He says, and I'll read it, Pray then like this. Our Father. To that ear then, back then, to the people listening, that would have been out of their wildest thought that a God that is mostly angry at them because they're not doing the 613 things that he's asked them to, a God that has tried and tried and tried and tried to redeem them, but they just won't listen, so he probably has given up on them because he's gone quiet for 400 years. That God, he's what? Father? That's odd. And to them, it's like, no, he's Yahweh. And we don't even say Yahweh. Like, that name's so holy that we don't even mention it. And you're saying call him Father. Not just once, mind you. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, I checked, did homework. Father, the phrase Father is used by Jesus 43 times. It's got to be important to him. On the cross, suffering Jesus, bleeding Jesus, the seven statements that he says, two of them involve Father. It's got to mean something. Because if Jesus said it, then it's got to be important. So point three. When you know the one you're talking to, the one you're talking to becomes Father. There's great significance to this. Jesus is saying to those listening and to us now that when we pray, God wants to be known as Father. He longs to be known as Father. He longs for us to talk to him like children talking to a father. Now, I do realize that as I say that, there is a myriad of different responses to that phrase. That I'm like, yes, call God Father. Where? Don't know what that was. But I say that and in your heart you go, I'm uncomfortable. You don't know what my father or you don't know what the fathers in my life have been like. I don't. That's true. And I want to be sensitive here because there is real trauma and pain and hurt that we have seen through a fatherhood role. Like, I used to be a chaplain and it would happen every day. There would be a problem with somebody not knowing their father. And while it is something that breaks my heart, we can't start there. Because if we let earth define heaven, all we're going to get is earth. But if we're wanting heaven, we have to let heaven define earth first. And so Jesus is saying, call him Father, and that will frame the rest of what you do. If you know him as Father, the way you talk to him will change. If you know him as Father, the way you walk will change. If you know him as Father, the way you think about yourself will change, because heaven has started to define earth. And when that happens, the revival that we seek, that's when it comes. Jesus, the rewriter of our history, the one who was once and for always wiped away our sin, came to rewrite our history with our Father, to reintroduce us to the correct image of what a father is actually like. Friends, how sad it would be if we got to the end of our life and the Father who has made us for himself, we get to that and we go, hey, man. And he goes, hey, son, or hey, daughter. And we can't show him that actually there's been a change in our heart because we've let the Father define himself for who he is rather than letting our world define him as Father. I really believe that we need that change in our hearts for prayer to be what it was meant to be. We need to know he's a father. The thing is, when we see him as Father, the natural byproduct of seeing God as Father is intimacy, which is our last point. It's kind of wrapping up, and the keys can come up so that it sounds spiritual. The last point is when you know the one you're talking to, prayer looks like intimacy just for intimacy's sake, for nothing else. See, when I spend time with my boy Craig, it's not because I want something from him, it's because I want to grow my relationship with him. And we hang out, we chat, we laugh, we hold some and kind of look like Dad 1 and Dad 2. It is what it is. I feel like Sam sometimes looks at me and goes, it's Dad, but he's smaller. But that's what prayer is. Not that part, but when we... But it's hanging out with God. Prayer is very simple. I know, like, sometimes I love to overcomplicate prayer and I approach God and I'm, like, on my knees and I'm like, Father, thank you, and go through this ritualistic thing where I actually forget, hang on, God's invited me into his throne room to just hang out, to just get to know him. I feel like we do that so often, don't we? That we get to prayer, and instead of using it as a place where it's just like, oh, Father, like, hey, today's been a good day, or today's not been a good day, and we go to things that try to gratify us instead of running to the Father who's open-handed, open-armed to us, and he's literally inviting us, come, please come and talk to me just because I want to know you. See, I really believe that if we're going to see the kind of prayers that shake nations and change the world, we need to be intimates with Jesus. We need to be the kind of people who don't just think God is an afterthought, but he's our best friend. We crave time with him. We crave speaking to him because he's our Father, because he's invited us and it is the best thing in our lives. I know there's times where I overcomplicate it and I'm like, God, like, I just want all this. And he's like, you can have it, but approach me properly. Know me as I am and just ask for it. He's a good Father. When we know him more, then, when we spend time with him, our hearts with his heart, we actually start to become more like him. Our hearts start to reflect his. We start to look a lot like Jesus did. And that's what this world is craving. Not a bunch of Christians who do church well, but a bunch of people that look like the real deal, that look like Jesus, that have the look in their eyes of, That's something different. The world is begging for an encounter with people who don't just pray to God, but pray with God, sit with God. And I believe we need to give it to them. If I can get the band up, that would be great. Guys, prayer is simple. It's just talking to Jesus. And from that relationship, from that sweet intimacy of knowing God, we'll see things start to change. We'll see graves start to rumble. We'll see miracles break forth, not because we're forcing God's hand, but God's hand is right there with yours, because you're praying the same way he would pray. But before we see those prayers, we need a change in here. We need to know, hang on, prayer's not about me. Prayer's not about standing up the front and saying all the right words, but not having conviction that God actually is here with us. Prayer's not about saying words over and over and over and over and over and over so that God's just like, fine. Prayer needs to simply be a space where we sit with our Father, the one who created us, and go, hey, you know my mum, the one you love? She's struggling with sickness at the moment. You know that friend who doesn't know you yet? I want them to know you. You know my bank account that is looking this big right now? I need you. That's what prayer was made to be. That's what prayer was intended to be. And God literally holds it out to us and says, if you're willing, take it. have prayer as the simplistic thing that it was meant to be. Why don't you guys stand?
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.